good for us to trust the Lord no matter what, isn't it? That's what that song's all about. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And thank you for that song, Karen. Take your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I've been preaching on the Ten Commandments. And today we'll look at the ninth one. Exodus chapter 20. I want to read some of those. Again, just to remind us, I don't think we hear enough about the Ten Commandments, especially in public schools and Congress and some of those places. I think we need to put them back up and start going by them. We'd all be better off. Now, I'll probably cough a little bit during this message, but don't let it bother you, and I'll try not to let it bother me. Brother Rigsby likes those Havana cigars and that secondhand smoke. I was forced to ride around with him some this week. No, that's not true. For you folks who don't know him, that is not true. But I've had some of this upper respiratory stuff that's going around. So anyway, we'll do our best to make it through. And you stick with me, all right? Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, the God, thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then thou shalt have no other gods before me. One commandment. Then thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Another commandment. Drop down to verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Sunday is the New Testament Christian's day of rest and worship, not under the law like some of the others, but trying to put us back under. And then verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. And that's a lifelong responsibility. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then verse 15, thou shalt not steal. And then today's verse, the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. There's no place for lying, and there's no place for false witness. Now, Proverbs 6 gives us another emphasis on how God feels about people who would lie, stretch the truth, gossip, do the different things that can be done to violate this principle. In Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. You know, there's some things God hates. God hates them. You say, I thought God was a God of love. He is, but he's a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. And he's a God that hates unrighteousness, and these are things. Yea, he says seven are an abomination to him. Not only does he hate them, but he tells us that they are an abomination to him. Let that sink in your mind a little bit, that it's an abomination. That's bad. That's terrible. So he names them. A proud look. A lying tongue. There you go. That's an abomination to God. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Here it is again, verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. Somebody that is a false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. He sort of nudges that right up against telling lies, doesn't he? Sowing discord among the brethren. Now think about God. Who is God? God is a God, the Bible says, that cannot lie. It is God's nature. So much so that God cannot, will not lie. And we are his disciples, and we should be like him, like Jesus Christ. Do you think Jesus could lie? No. Are we his disciples? Yes, if we're really saved. Then should we practice lying or stretching the truth or misrepresenting things. This has many connotations to it, and we're going to talk about those as we look at it. But God cannot lie. Let me ask you this. Do you like to be lied on? How many of you would say, I like for people to lie about me? Most of us, unless you're a little bit sick or something, you would say, I don't like people lying about me. Do you like being lied about? Do you like being lied to by somebody? No. You see, God is a God of truth, and God has taught us in His Word. And I remind you, these are not 10 suggestions. These are 10 of the divine, holy imperatives of God, and He tells us all of them are serious things, and we're to go by all of these. And bearing false witness is just as serious as committing adultery or murder. There may not be the social ramifications involved in it, but they are serious in the mind of God, in the sight of God. As God looks on, bearing false witness is a terrible, detestable, and bad thing, according to the Word of God. Now remember who the father of lies is. Who's the father of lies? The devil. It all started out in the Garden of Eden with a big lie. And Adam and Eve listened to the lie and got themselves in a lot of trouble. The devil is the father of lies. And so if you're guilty of practicing false witnessing, lying, these things, then you're simply following Satan's plan, and you're more akin to him than you are to Jesus Christ. What does all this refer to? Well, one of those things, to be sure, would be slandering somebody with a lie. Telling something that you absolutely know is not true with malicious intent. It happens all the time. Sometimes it's a bad marital relationship and the wife lies about the husband and the husband lies about the wife with malicious intent to try to justify themselves, to get even with them, or to do something that is similar to that. We're not talking about some minor mistakes in reporting something. Many times we would try to report an incident and we might make a few mistakes. But this is not that at all. This is malicious intent. Knowing you're lying about somebody and doing it anyway, trying to get even with them, trying to hurt them, trying to do destruction to them. And there are Christians who do that, and God is not pleased with it. The Old Testament, usually when somebody would lie on someone else or say that they were witness to something bad in their life, they are the ones that normally it would be brought before the council, and this would be something that was a crime punishable by death. And so if somebody lied on those people, then not only were they liars, but these people were stoned to death. And as a result of that, they were guilty not only of bearing false witness, but also of murder, of having them killed, being part and parcel of it. You see, it's a very serious thing to lie on somebody. We talk about, oh, a little gray area there, a little white lie, a little white lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Well, it's just something we have to do. It's situational ethics. You know, it's going to do less harm if I lie than it is if I don't lie. Then the harm comes if I don't lie. That is a lie of the devil. There's no such thing as a little white lie or stretching the truth just a little bit and it's all right. No such thing is allowed in the Word of God. We're not to bear false witness. We're not to lie. And that sometimes can be character assassination, as many people would know. So he says, don't bear false witness. If you got a grudge against somebody and you tell a lie on them, friend, you're violating and breaking this principle of the Word of God. Another area would be tale-bearing. I didn't anticipate that I'd get too many amens in this message today. But if somebody might want to help me out once in a while, go ahead. Slandering and lying is one thing. Tale-bearing, Proverbs 11:13. A tale-bearer, we could put in there the word a gossiper. Somebody that goes around just telling things, stirring up things, not telling the truth, or even if it is truth, telling it when you don't have to tell it. A tale-bearer revealeth secrets. You know why a lot of people do that? Because they want to be noticed. They want to be accepted. They want to bring somebody down so they can bring themselves up. And look at me, I know something nobody else knows. I've got the facts. You better come to me. I'm important. I'm somebody. I know what other people don't know. At least I think I know, and I want to tell you what I think I know. A tale-bearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit, a godly spirit, a Christian spirit, concealeth the matter. Oh my, do we ever need this? You see, people just enjoy. And sometimes people say, well, it's just conversation. Baloney. It's not just conversation. If it is, it's conversation that does damage. Great damage. Terrible damage. To a lot that might be involved in it. There are people that carry the gossip around and they never do any careful investigation to even see if it's right or wrong. They're just tale bearers. They like to do it. It's a habit. They feel, you know, it's like some people that just love to be sick. They get attention from being sick. They just love to be sick. They become hypochondriacs with that. Well, tale bearers are sort of like that. They're similar to the very same thing. And they don't even check it out. We ought to ask one thing for sure. Is it true? Do I know that it's true? Am I absolutely sure that it's true? And then the second question we ought to ask, is it necessary that I say anything about it? What good's it going to do to hinder or hurt somebody else? Now, I know there's some church discipline matters and that has to be handled, but I'm telling you that a talebearer is a person that is giving out false witness. If you don't know all the facts and you spread the rumor and you spread the gossip and you tell it before you know for sure what it is, or even if it's necessary. I mean, even if you do know, is it necessary? That's bad, and God is not pleased with that. Turn to the book of James, back in the back of your Bible there for a second, if you will. And let's look at chapter 3. James chapter 3, and start down around verse 5. James chapter 3. Oh, how we need to be reminded of this. Hey, I'm still talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm still talking about something that's important. I'm still talking about something that God says is detestable, despicable, bad, an abomination to Him. We say anybody that murders somebody, that's an abomination. God says anybody that gives a false witness and gossips and does all those things, that's an abomination. James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member. The meanest member of this church is a tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is like a little fire that causes a forest fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that if it defileth, that it defileth the whole body. The tongue, that little muscle in our mouths, has the ability to defile the whole body. And it setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith, that is with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You don't have to have any brains to gossip. You don't have to have any education or qualifications or anything else to gossip. But I'm telling you, the tongue is a very unruly member. He goes on to talk a lot about the tongue and reminds us of it. We need to be very careful. If you don't know it's true, and even if you do know it's true, it doesn't mean you have to spread it. At least take time out to find out what you're going to say. You say, well, that's not a serious thing. Yes, it is. God said it's serious. God will not hold you unaccountable for spreading rumors and gossip. God says it's a very serious thing. Another way we do it is innuendo. And that is leaving false impressions. You say something like, well, the least I say about it, the better off everybody's going to be. And I know, you know, or we just do it like this. We'll say, eyebrows up, eyelashes up. Do you think that could be true? I don't know. Now, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, our body gestures, the way we look, our demeanor. You don't have to say something with this tongue to say a lot, right? Every child in here knows that. Your daddy can look at you and doesn't have to say a word. And you know, you sort of get the message. And when you're around people and things are said and somebody says, well, I think, oh, so-and-so, so-and-so, such-and-such, and you don't defend it. You just sort of like, well, I don't know. I just don't want to say anything about it. But you could be right. Or we go through all of these gyrations. Let me tell you, innuendo can be false witness, implying that you know something that other people don't know and that those people are guilty when you don't know that they're guilty. This may seem elementary to you, but it is not elementary to God. It's a very important thing. It can ruin a family. It can ruin a church. It can ruin a student body, even on a Christian student body campus. It can have horrible implications as a result of it, even something like these gestures. There's another way that we can be guilty of false witnessing. And how's that? Withholding evidence when we know the truth and we don't tell the truth. That is being a false witness, knowing the truth and not telling the truth. If you are that third party and you know better and you know the truth, you ought to straighten out the record and say, that's not true. That is not correct. So many people use their periodicals, religious periodicals, to throw out garbage that is not true, and people won't stand up. They need to stand up and say, that's not true. And we need to tell the truth. Here's the truth. You heard that, but it's not that way. This is the truth. This is the way it really is. By the way, here's a plug for evangelism. How many of you know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. In other words, you know how to be saved. You know how you got saved. You can put them down. You know how you were born again. Now, there are people all around us that don't know the truth. We have the truth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we don't give out the truth and tell them how to keep from dying and going to hell. Let me ask you something. Are we remiss in our responsibility? You better know we are. We have the truth. The truth is this, my dear friend, and I'll share it with you right now. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The truth is you're a sinner. You may not like that, but the truth is you're a sinner. The truth is that Jesus died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. The truth is that if you will trust Him, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, thank God you can go to heaven. I'm not going to withhold the truth from you. Some preachers would give a false witness and tell you, well, you can get there by your good works, by your good deeds. You can get there by joining a Baptist church. You can get there by being baptized as a child, or later on just going through the baptismal regeneration thing. You can do that. No, you cannot. I don't want to withhold the truth from you. That's not true. That's a false witness. Whoever told you that is lying about it. The truth is, you must come by way of the cross in order to go to heaven. Everybody on the face of this earth, if they go to heaven, has to come by way of the cross. There is no other way. There's no other religion. There's no other door. There's no other way. The truth is Jesus Christ. You and I need to quit withholding the truth. We need to get out of there and tell people Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Or we're guilty like a third party who knows the truth and doesn't tell it. Another way that we can be guilty of this is flattery. Flattery. Psalm 12:1, to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips. And with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said with our tongues, we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? What is flattery? It's lying. It's insincere praise. Now, good compliments, all right, if it's true. But flattery is nothing but a lie when it's insincere and the motive is wrong. A lot of people flatter people because they want some kind of promotion of self, or they want to gain advantage, and so they will lie and flatter people and tell them what they know they want to hear. Even though they know it's not true about them, they'll do that. That falls, I believe, into this category. You say, well, should I be truthful with them about things? Yes, very carefully. The Bible says, don't flatter people. Don't brag on them and boast on them and treat them like that. And with your flattering lips, if it's not true about them, don't do that. But what it says is, be honest with them, but do it in a very kind way. Don't walk up to them and say, I got something to tell you. You sorry, low-down rascal, I want to tell you, this is what's wrong in your life. You're no good because you're doing this and that and the other. And I just wanted to tell you that. That's not the way to approach it. But sometimes the best thing you can do is be honest with somebody and not flatter them and not go beat around the bush. Be honest with them. Proverbs says in 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. There are those that when they tell you the truth, it hurts. But he goes on to say, but the tongue of the wise is health. In other words, sometimes the best thing we can do for our friends and those that we know is not flatter them, but tell them the truth about their spiritual needs, about their spiritual welfare, and about some things that might be in their life. Do it in love. Do it with the right motive. Do it with the purpose of helping them and healing them, and then God will bless that. But we should not flatter people with our lips. We ought to be honest in all areas. False witness, lying, it all falls in the same category. How about being in school, college or regular school, and cheating on a test? God says that's a serious thing. You say, well, I'm an athlete, and that cheerleader is going to help me, and I'm going to sit behind her in class, and she's going to put the answers right over here where I can see them, and I'll pass this test so I can keep playing football or basketball. And you lie about it and you cheat, that's wrong, my dear friend. You're involved in a business deal and you misrepresent the item, you misrepresent what you're trying to do. You lie about it and you misrepresent the product or what is involved in all of the deal that is going on. Then you're guilty of being a false witness. It's lying. And God says, I'm not pleased with that. We could go on and on with any area of our life in so many relationships where we are involved in bearing a false witness. Now, Jesus tells us where the real problem is. Turn to Matthew, please, just a second. Chapter 15. Jesus tells us why these things are done. And there are many others. We don't have time to talk about them, but the Spirit of God will call them to your heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 15. Look there, if you will. Matthew 15, starting with verse 15. Jesus said, here's where the problem really is. Why do people gossip? Why do people tell lies? Why do people steal? Why do they cheat? Why do they misrepresent a product? Why do they gossip? Why do they take in their own heart some kind of liberty to destroy somebody out of envy or out of being bitter and angry at them? Why does that happen? Matthew 15, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? I think all of us understand what he's saying there. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, watch it, those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart, not out of your stomach. And they defile the man. What comes out of the heart is what defiles us. For out of the heart proceed, here's what comes out of our heart, if we're not careful, proceed evil thoughts. You ever have any evil thoughts? Where does it come from? Satan's behind it, but it comes out of the heart. How about murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts? Wow, look at this. What's the next two words? False witness. Do you realize that's right beside fornication, adultery, murder? There it is, right there in the same verse. On the other side, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a person or man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. He was teaching them a lesson, but in teaching them that it wasn't what they were eating with, not going through all the ablutions and all the traditions that defile them, but rather it was what was in the heart. And he knew the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of those, he knew their hearts were wicked, and he was talking about it. And false witness was one of the problems. He said, that comes from the heart. The reason we do that is our hearts are evil, and we have to be careful about it. Jesus Christ said that he was the truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And he said that truth, whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament, that for it to be considered a truth, there had to be at least two witnesses, and even better, three witnesses. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. And anybody that questions that is a false witness. I am the truth. And he said, I have my Father who is my witness. I have the works that I have done. That's two that are my witnesses. All of the healings that he did. And I have the Old Testament scriptures that testify of me. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the truth. Let me ask you something today. Have you received the truth? Who's the father of lies? The devil. What will he tell you? That you can't be saved, that your sins are too bad, that you won't go to heaven, you can't know you're saved. I had someone tell me the other day, oh, you cannot know that you're saved. Oh, yes, you can. Amen. The truth, Jesus says. And if you've trusted him, you can know you're on your way to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Believe the truth. Believe the word. Believe the Bible. You can know you're going to heaven. You don't have to guess, hope, wonder about it. Thank God you can know that you're going to heaven. It's the truth. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? If not, it's because you're listening to the father of lies, the liar. He says things like this: well, what will my friends think? Or, I can't hold out. If I get saved, they're going to laugh at me, and I probably won't keep doing what's right. I probably can't hold out, and so on and so forth. You know who's giving you that garbage in your mind at those times? It's the father of lies, the devil. Don't believe that false witness. That's exactly what he is. He's a liar and the father of it. Believe what Jesus said. I am the truth. Become a Christian and then practice those things. Have you received Christ as your Savior? God says, well, to be honest and truthful in our dealings in life, no matter what it is, in our relationships with each other, we ought to be honest and truthful and always in love. He says in his word, don't lie. Don't slander somebody. Don't tell a lie on them. No matter what your motive, don't do it. Don't lie about a thing. Don't cheat. Don't do those things. And then he says, don't withhold the truth. You know the truth, you ought to come forward and say, I know the truth. They're lying about that. And by God's grace, we ought to be telling the truth to people, getting them to Christ, bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of the first things God says you ought to put on every day is the armor. And he says, put on the girdle of truth. You see, everything else hangs on that belt. And they've got to take that cloak and pull that cloak tight and put that belt around there. Truth is the belt that all the rest, those important things seem to hang on. He says, you've got to do it. If you don't have the truth, you're going to get messed up for sure. God says, the best thing we can do, here's what he's saying, don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Tell the truth. Don't tear people down. By God's grace, build them up. Amen? Don't you think we could do a lot better reaching a lost and dying world if we wouldn't tear each other down, but build each other up, compliment each other, say good things about each other? Oh, we all have our idiosyncrasies, whatever that means. We all have our little bad parts. We all have temperaments that have good things about them and bad things about them. But bless the Lord, we need to be careful. This is a commandment of Almighty God. We are not to bear false witness. God takes it seriously. Let's stand, please. If you're here without Christ, I want to urge you to not believe the devil, the father of lies. Believe the truth. The truth is, you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. Let me tell you something. Oh, he loves you. You say, he didn't know what... You just don't know what I've done. He does. He loves you anyway. When he died that day, he knew everything you were going to do. He loves you. He'll save you today. Believe the truth. The truth is, Jesus saves. A couple you, a family you, a man, a young person, you come today. And if for some reason God has spoken to your heart about some area of your life, relative to this important principle, and we were only able to barely touch on it, may God help you to make that right in your heart today. Father, we thank you for the powerful word of God. We know that bearing false witness is in the category of all other despicable and terrible things. And Father, help us to realize that you said that that's an abomination. Gossip, being critical, being a talebearer, telling things that aren't necessary, saying things that haven't even checked out, don't even know if they're true. God, may you speak to our hearts about this important principle as children of God. Help us to live it out as disciples of Christ, as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.